Proverbs chapter number 31. We're going to start in verse number 1. The Bible says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink, and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that you've given us once again. And Lord, I do want to bathe this tonight in prayer. Lord, I want to be balanced in everything I say. Lord, I want to be able to convey the truth that you've put on my heart. But Lord, I pray that you'd help me to do it in the right way, in the right manner. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me to say exactly what you'd have me to say. Just guide my words, guide my lips. I pray that you'd be honored in this. I pray that you'd help our people. And thank you for helping me in this. And just been a good lesson for me. And thank you for that. And Lord, we'll praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter number 31 is most often associated with the virtuous woman. All right, the virtuous woman is, for the most of the rest of the chapter, from verse 10 down through the end of the chapter, it talks about the virtuous woman. And that's what Proverbs, when we say the Proverbs 31 woman, that's kind of what you think about. But there's another woman in Proverbs chapter 31. And we don't have any record that I can see of what kind of woman she was. But I dare say that women have a unique ability to perceive things. And I would say that a woman that perceives all of these things probably has a lot of these own attributes in her life. All right? And but this woman is the mother of King Lemuel, the mother of King Lemuel. And in verse number 1, the Bible says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. And it goes down through this. And for the rest of this chapter, this is a mother sitting down with her son and teaching him some things. And tonight, we're going to look at some of the things that this young man's mother taught him. And I believe they're important things. And a mother here is giving her son some words of advice. Advice on what to look for in a young lady. And young men, you would be wise to look at this and find a young lady that, may not have all of these, but is striving for these. Young ladies, is a good list of things to strive for as a guideline to what would make a wonderful wife. And she begins this chapter not telling King Lemuel on what kind of woman to look for, but some personal advice. Some personal advice. And so we're going to look at this. That is what I'm going to focus on tonight, is this personal advice. It was advice on how to live. Not just on how to live, but how to live according to the way he had been taught and had been brought up. Verse number 3 is the first piece of advice that we see. And we're going to kind of lump it all together because there's a theme, there's a thought that I want to get across tonight. And I want you to be patient with me because I think you'll understand what I'm talking about. But there's a fine line in what I'm talking about tonight. And I'm going to go on both sides and I'm going to explain exactly what I mean. But in verse number 3, the Bible says, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth. What's the next word there? Kings. Kings. The next verse says, verse number 4, it is not for what? Kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Why? Lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Then verse 6 is interesting. It says, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. We've got, obviously I don't believe that, I think the Bible teaches that we should abstain from alcohol in any way. But it's interesting here that King Lemuel's mother gave a distinction. She gave a distinction between somebody that had been raised up as a child of the king and somebody that lived their life in misery. And that was the distinction that she gave here. And I'm going to talk tonight about this thought, acting like royalty. Acting like royalty. I believe that, first of all, that King Lemuel's mother wanted to convey to her son that the fact that he was a child of the king. Why would she go to such effort to say in verse number 3, to that which destroyeth kings? In verse number 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. I believe that she wanted her son to recognize his position. Tonight, I'm speaking to everyone, but young people, I want you to listen, because I believe it's important for you to recognize your position. And I don't care if you're 4 or 5 years old or 18, 19 years old, and this is true for all of us, but I believe it's important to recognize our position. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter number 2, I apologize. 1 Peter chapter number 2. First Peter chapter number 2, verse number 9. Bible says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul." I wish everyone, not just young people, I wish everyone here tonight would realize that you have been given something special. You've been given something special. Just the very fact that you're a child of God is something special. Okay? Every one of you, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, through adoption, you are a child of God. And we'll look at that in just a moment. We've all been adopted into God's family. All right? We are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If you think about that, The privileges that God is giving Jesus Christ, many of those same privileges we have because we are adopted into God's family. I hope everyone in here tonight could realize that you've been given something special. You have been given salvation, young people. And that's your opportunity. You can accept it. But more importantly, I believe that God has given you something special just in the fact that you're sitting here tonight. Okay?
Yes, sir.
And most of us don't, you know, you grow up in this ministry and you honestly take this ministry for granted. Okay? You take your mom and dad for granted that you have. You don't appreciate, and I'm just saying this, I'm not downing you, because you don't understand, but you don't appreciate the parents that you have, okay? You don't appreciate the position, all right? And I think one of the most important things for King Lemuel in this thought was the fact that he needed to understand his position. He wasn't like the peasants out there, that whenever something bad happened, they went and hit the bar. He wasn't like them. He could live above them. And you're going to be like, "Brother Chad, are you saying that we should live above everyone else?" Yeah. And I'm going to balance that here in just a moment. But you know what? I don't have to go to the world to satisfy the things that I am short on. I can go to God for that. Okay? And God gives me so much more than what the world could ever offer. Why would I stoop to that? When I have everything else offered to me, and young people, you have everything offered to you, and you're going to stoop, and honestly, you are degrading yourself to go to get what the world has to offer you. Okay? You have to understand your position. We've been adopted into God's family. Being part of the king's family is not something to hang your head about. It's sad to me that, you're a Christian. And listen, folks, being a Christian, I don't care if you're a young person or an adult, a senior saint, being a Christian is not something to hang your head about. Being a Christian isn't something about, I go to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Hey, that's not something to hang your head about. If anything, you ought to hold your head higher. Okay? And there's other good churches around here, But you know what I'm saying? What I'm saying tonight is you ought to hold your head high. I am a Christian. I'm a child of the King. And what happens so many times is, yeah, but, and you know what it is? It's all the pressure that the world puts on you. You know that, you know, and I, don't get me wrong. I know it's hard sometimes to live the Christian life. You realize that anybody in prominence has a spotlight put on their life. Think about this. Young people, you know why people pay so much attention to you? Because you stick out. You're abnormal. You know why they look at Christians, and then anytime somebody messes up, it's a big deal. Because there's fewer, and so there's more light on it. Okay? But there's nothing sad about being a Christian. You know, and I've talked to several men in here that work in different arenas. You know the best thing, young people, that you can do when you go into a different environment is to let them know that you're a Christian. You know, if you go in and let them know right off the bat that you're a Christian, it's going to prevent a lot of problems. You know the problems that you run into is when you don't go in and you try to be a secret Christian and stuff builds and builds and builds and builds and builds until you have to say something about it. And then they're like, well, I didn't know you were a Christian. You know, it's better just to go and say, hey, I'm a Christian. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus is my King. But Chad, that's not comfortable. Hopefully I can help you change some of that if you'll think about this tonight. It's sad to me. Sometimes young people get upset. You get upset with your parents. You get upset with the pastor because of the rules. Hey, listen, I get it. You may not have the best situation, but it is the situation that God has put you in. Joseph didn't grow up with the best situation. I want you to think about the life of Joseph tonight. You think of anybody that would be upset about his situation. Joseph had a right to be upset about his situation. His brothers threw him in a pit, trying to decide where they're going to kill him. Then they sold him into slavery. He goes and he works honestly for a man, and then that man's wife lies about him, and he's thrown into prison. He works in the prison and ultimately becomes controller, basically assistant warden, if you would, of the prison. And then he's moved up into command in the nation of Egypt. All right, if somebody had an excuse to be upset, all right, none of you have been sold into slavery. All right, some of you may feel like it, but you haven't been. All right, none of you have been sold into slavery. I don't think most of your, you know, family members have tried to kill you anytime recently. All right, far as I know, none of you have been in jail yet. All right, let's keep it that way. But you know what? At some point, Joseph had to be like, all right, I don't know where my family is, but I'm in this situation, and this is what God has for me right now. You may not understand everything, but I hope you recognize your position as a child of God. King Lemuel's mother was explaining to him that because of his position, some things had changed. Life is different. Life is different when you become a child of the King. Amen. You can't just go do everything that you want as a child of the King. I just jotted some things down. Some things that I believe would probably be different. I think his clothing was different. Right. You know, one of the things that you automatically distinguishes, you know, especially in medieval times, something that automatically distinguished royalty from a peasant was the manner in which they were dressed.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Automatically, it distinguished them. Now listen, and I'm going to balance this. You say, Brother Chad, should we dress just, you know, I'm just going to dress better than everyone else. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you ought to be different. You ought to be different. His clothing. I believe King Lemuel's clothing, because he was a prince. You know, your clothing demands respect. This is for everyone, by the way. Men and ladies. I think men are just as guilty of this, if not more so, than ladies. It demands respect. You know, when I go into a store and I see a lady that's dressed properly, or I see, listen, young men, you think, well, I can just blend in. I don't think so. I can pretty much pick out a Christian young man if he's dressed properly and carries himself the way he ought to. I can go to the store and I can pick out one that's like that and one that's not. And you know, one of the biggest things is the things they wear. You know, I just don't buy certain clothing lines because I don't agree with everything that clothing line says. Okay? I just don't. All right? If I came in here okay, I'm just giving you an illustration. This is me. This is my preferences. And there, I don't know that there's anything wrong with this company per se. But if I came in here with a, I don't know what they call those hats that have the real flat bills on them. Flat bills? That's easy enough. I should have known that. A flat bill hat. Now, I don't wear those anyway. All right? That's kind of weird to me. But if I came in here and I'm just going to throw this one out there. All right? And it said Fox on it. Fox. Now, most of you probably recognize the name Fox. It's for Fox Racing. Okay? Now, some of you are like, I don't know, Bro Chan, what's Fox? Now, there may not be anything wrong with that company per se and some of the products they have, but go look at most of the guys that wear that hat. Look at the music they listen to. Look at the associations they roam with. Okay? Now, that's just me. You say, Bro Chad, that's a little thing. I know. But little things do matter. Amen. The little things matter. And, you know, Bro Chad, I got a Fox shirt. I'm not harping on that. That was just a thought. There are some ladies' clothing lines that have alternate names for their clothing line. You should check it out before you just start wearing anything. Because you know what? I believe a Christian, young people, I believe, well, that's just what everyone, that's a cool thing to wear. Why? Why do you got to have it? You can pay 10 times more than what it's worth. You know, I can buy a hooded sweatshirt at, you know, Royal King for $10. And you're going to pay $100 for a hooded sweatshirt? Go ahead. I burned too many holes in mine to do that. All right? His clothing, it demands respect. It's most noticeable. It portrays value. It portrays value. Young ladies, you can sell yourself cheap if you want to. You can be like any other. Listen, at any moment, you can dress and look like anybody else out here. And it makes you no different than the general population. Guys, listen to me. You can go and you can act like a stinking punk out in the world. Okay? And you can dress like it and you can act like it. You can carry yourself that way. But you know what? You're not representing the king. You're not representing him well. I believe King Lemuel's clothing was different. I believe his language was different. He talked correctly. He talked correctly. He didn't use the slang that the peasants used. He didn't laugh at the jokes. Listen, guys at work, you know, sometimes somebody will say something that's funny. But doesn't mean that, because I'm a child of the king, it's inappropriate. And I shouldn't laugh at it. When you laugh at one thing, you know what you're doing? You're condoning it. You're condoning it. I was with some guys here in town, and I was working on a building, and one of the guys said something. He's not a saved man. And one of the guys said something, and in the way that he said it and what we were talking about, I thought it was funny. And so I laughed at it. And the other guy did too. And as soon as the other guy laughed, because he's not a saved guy either. As soon as the other guy laughed, it hit me. That's not the way they were laughing about it. It was a dirty joke. And I felt like this. Because you know what? Listen, first thing, remember what I said. They know I'm a child of the king. They know I'm an assistant pastor, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And I just laughed at a joke that he made that was inappropriate. And honestly, I thought it was funny in a completely different way. You know what I had to do? I said, guys, I shouldn't have laughed at that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Listen, what is that? I want to make sure that they know that I'm a child of the king. Okay? I'm different. Your language, the jokes, the slang of the world, the jokes of the world. Let me say this, and I'm just going to say this and kind of in passing. I mentioned earlier, hold your head up. I believe his poise He said, "Bro, Chad is poise." Yeah. The way you carry yourself. All right? Young men, you ought to carry yourself like a young man. Like a young man. Young ladies, you ought to conduct yourself like a young lady. Okay? Like a young lady. And that means a lot. Whether you realize it or not. Young men, carry yourself like a young man. Dress like a young man. All right? Me and my wife this year for Christmas, this is just kind of a funny thing, but we went to Goodwill and we were looking for my son for some pajamas. Okay? And I'm going to give you the whole background of this because I think it's important. You know, we're trying to raise men in our household. And most of the pajamas, like if you go to the store and buy little boys' pajamas, they're really tight. Like the pajama pants are really, really tight. And so I started, every time my son would wear some of those, you know, he got them from wherever, people got them for him, or I don't know, maybe we bought them for him, I don't know. I'd start saying, "Micah, why are you wearing man tights?" And he's like, "Daddy, they're not man tights." And I would razz him. I mean, he's four, all right? He got to the place, he refused to put those pajama pants on. He had to have regular, he called them wiggly pants. Wiggly pants. Because he wanted to stick his leg out, and if they didn't wiggle, Daddy's going to tease me. All right, now listen. You know what? I don't want my son getting used to wearing skinny jeans and man tights and whatever you want to call them. All right? See, bro, Chad, that's silly. They're pajamas. All right. But you know what? That's in his brain. I ain't never. I mean, he was putting like a long johns on, like the, you know, the thermal underwear type stuff. And I'm like, "No, Mikey, you have to put these on. You got to stay warm. You're going to put floppy pants on top of them. All right? It's all right." But you know what? I'd rather have that than the alternative, when he's 13, 14, 15, and you've seen it.
Yes.
Why in the world a human being squeezes themselves into those, I have no idea. All right? That's not natural. I'm just saying. Or maybe it's a little too natural. I don't know. But listen, your poise, the way you carry yourself, the way you look, all right? Guys, you ought to look like a man, okay? Keep your hair cut, keep it trimmed, and look like a man. Young ladies, look like a lady, and you guys do a great job. Look like a lady. His poise. His associations. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33 says, "Be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners." You know, I believe that there were some people that King Lemuel's mother, when he would come home and he'd start talking about certain friends, "Hey, you can be a friend to them, but you need to be careful about how much time you spend around them. Young people, be careful about your associations. They'll make you or break you." All right? His habits were different than the common person. You know, he was instructed not to drink alcohol. While his mother said, you know, if you're going to give alcohol to anybody, give it to those that are already about to die. That's basically what she said. Give it to them so they don't feel it anymore. You know, it was sad. Somebody told me, I don't remember who it was. Maybe it's Brother Weddle. I don't remember. I don't remember who told me. You know, Christmas Day, everything's closed. You know what was still open in Hymera? The bar. And it was packed out. You know who those group of people are? Those that want to drink away the misery. They call it they're going to have a party. But in reality, they just want to forget everything. He's instructed about the women, that which destroyeth kings. His habits. His training. I believe his training was different than the average peasant. Young people, your training is different than the average person in this world. You've been given lessons, and you've been given truths, and how you handle those truths will much determine the rest of your life. his training. He didn't enjoy the lax training that a peasant would have. His days were spent with countless hours of training and learning, not because he needed it that day, but because he would need it for the future. Young people, we're not training you for today, okay? We're training you for tomorrow, all right? If you're given, let me just throw this out there. If you're given an opportunity to learn something, I always look at an opportunity to learn something as an opportunity sent from the Lord. If God gives me an opportunity to learn something and I don't take advantage of that opportunity, I've found many times that later on down the road, what I could have learned in that opportunity would have benefited me down the road. So let me just say this. Take advantage of the opportunities afforded you. Young people, please recognize your position. All of us, adults included, you're special to God. Ladies, you're special to God. You know, preacher preach this, and I agree 100%. You know, the ladies in this room are not a lesser person than the men if you're doing what God wants you to do. You know, God created men and women differently. Young ladies, God created you different than the young men. Young men, if you try to do what God created a young lady to do, you're not fulfilling what God created you to do, and vice versa. That's where we get into trouble. There are some things that Christians should not do because they do not represent the King well. There are some things that we should not wear because it makes us look like the peasantry, not the royalty. Young people, spend your life in preparation. You say, Burchett, what am I preparing for? I wish I knew. I wish I had a plan of what I'm preparing for. You know, I don't know. That's why I don't know what you should prepare for. So everything could be a lesson. Let me challenge young people, get out of your comfort zone. Some of you don't want to do anything that's uncomfortable. Well, I don't want to do that. I'm not comfortable doing that. All right, I never dreamed when I was in high school and me and Brother Levi were giving, you know, high school speeches, Brother Nathan, and you know, we're standing up in front of everybody giving speeches. I never ever thought that I would be standing here. Right. Okay? Never. I wasn't comfortable with it, but I still had to do it. Do things that are uncomfortable. When an opportunity presents itself and you don't take advantage of it, there very well may come a day that you wish that you would have listened and learned. I believe Joseph spent his life in preparation for the day of opportunity. Let me throw this out there. What if we all looked at the problems of life with the idea that this is preparation for an opportunity? This is just simply preparing me for an opportunity. It changed the way you look at things. It really would. All right. Brother Chad, it seems like you want us to live above the world. Yeah, I do. I want you to live above the world. All right? You are, and you're going to, some people crucify me, but I think I'll balance this out. You're better than what the world is. You are better. Okay? You're better. I'm not promoting you, and don't get a big head about it, because listen, none of us are better because we are better. All of us are better because of God's mercy and God's grace. You know, adoption isn't determined by the person that's adopted, but by the one that's adopting them. If I'm up for adoption, I don't have any control over who adopts me. That's that person's choice. And Jesus, I don't believe in predestination, all right? I'm not a Calvinist. I believe God gives everyone an equal opportunity to be saved. A choice, that's a choice. But you've been given something special, all right? Just the fact that you're here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Jasonville, Indiana. Listen to me, you think, Brother Chad, I just want to go see the city. And some of you probably do. I want to get out of this. I want to just get out of this, you know, this little town. You don't realize what you've been given in this little town. Yeah. You don't realize what you've been given in this church. Right. Okay? Don't take that for granted. You're not like the rest of mankind. You are special. Some of you, honestly, probably if you was honest with me, you'd say, Bro Chad, I don't want to be special. I just want to be normal. I just want to blend in with everyone else. How about a normal royal life? There is no such thing. the royal family over in England, do you know more people know about what that family does than any other family? They know where they go to eat. They know where they go for recreation. They know what they wear on a daily basis. Why? You know why? Because they're royal. They're royal. I don't deserve to be a child of the king. I've been adopted. Go to Romans chapter 8. We'll be done quickly. I'm going to balance this because I want you to come away from this saying, bro, Chad thinks we're just better than everyone. Although you are. You are better than what the world gives. And you can live above that. Right? Honestly, and I've got a whole message on this, the world lives like animals. They live like animals. And there's several points there, but I digress. Romans chapter 8, look at verse number 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. We're adopted. I have the rights of a child of the king. I believe that King Lemuel's mother wanted him to remember his position, but I also believe that King Lemuel's mother wanted him to remember what it was like to be a peasant. What it was like to be a peasant. She mentioned here several things about his, you know, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. You know, if you're adopted by the king, it means that you're not of actual royal blood. You're brought into the family by adoption. Okay? You know, the most loved monarchs of all time were the ones that were a king or they were a queen, but they still reached down to the common peasant. They didn't lower themselves to doing what the peasant did, but they reached down to help them. Those were the most loved of all time. They endured the training. They went through the training. They acted like royalty. They talked like royalty. They conducted themselves like royalty, but they did not forget what it was to be a peasant. I want to show you an interesting verse. Go to James chapter 2. I just saw this when I was doing this study. James chapter number 2. You think, and I, like I said, I want to balance what I was talking about. James chapter number 2, because I believe that it's important as royalty. Listen, we're none of us are here because we deserve to be here. I don't, you don't, nobody does. We're all here because we've been given a gift. James chapter 2, look at verse number 8. The Bible says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, here it is, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. I never noticed that before, but it called it a royal law, something that is conducted by those in royalty. And what is that? Look at it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You know what that is? It's reaching down to help someone that doesn't have that opportunity that you have. It's running that bus. You know, all of you that run buses, you have the things. And you know what? You can live above. You don't have to live like a bus kid in order to reach a bus kid. Listen to me. You're not helping somebody by living like them in order to reach them. All right? You know, the Good Samaritan, and I put this in later, and I'll get to it, I guess, later. The Good Samaritan wasn't... Remember the guy that got mugged on the road down to Jericho? Mugged. I don't know what the Bible term is, but I used mugged. He got mugged on the road. And you know, the Bible doesn't say that the Samaritan was... you know, was with him and got mugged too and was laying there on the side of the road and they tried to help each other. You know what it took? It was somebody else from the outside that came in and said, hey, let me help you. But there were also two other people. And here's the caution I want to give you tonight. You can live above the world, but don't be so far above the world that you can't reach out and help them. What about that priest and that Levite? What did they do? They passed by on the other side. They said, well, we can't. I don't have time. I don't have the finances. Oh, he's dirty. He's probably already dead. It's useless. And the Samaritan said, I'm going to take some moments and I'm going to try to help this man. Speaks of a royal law, a law to love thy neighbor as thyself. You know, we serve a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He never gave up one bit of his deity, but he was still willing to be called a friend of sinners and publicans. He was still willing to go down and sit with Zacchaeus at his house and eat supper with him. He didn't become Zacchaeus, but he was willing to go to his house. Jesus was willing to sit a little dirty little child on his lap and speak of that child and say, there are none greater in the kingdom of heaven than this child. And he was still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. One of his last acts that he did was to go and he took a towel and he girded himself and he washed the disciples' feet. That was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When you become too good to reach down and help someone, that is much like you were before you got saved, then you have a pride issue. I have a pride issue. Jesus said that the greatest among us are the servants. However, you can't reach someone if you're lying in the same gutter they are. You can't help them. You got to live above that. Young people, you've been given an opportunity to live above that. And some of you, it's sad to see somebody say, well, I'm going to trade all this that I've been given. I'd rather go live in the gutter. Go to 1 Samuel chapter number 18. I'm going to show you one last story. I love this, and this passage has helped me a lot. I'm just being honest with you. 1 Samuel chapter 18. I said this morning, I'm not a people person. And that's very much true. I'm not comfortable with a lot of people. I mean, I can converse with individuals okay sometimes. But I'm not a people person. And God kind of worked on my heart because, you know, you can't impact somebody unless you can touch somebody. You know, as much as I'd like to go to Alaska sometimes and live as a hermit, it's hard to fulfill the Great Commission doing that.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Just saying. All right, and you come to the end of your life and you lived your life in a shack and you die in the shack and nobody knows about your shack and then the bears come and eat you in the shack. And you know, honestly, if you're looking at life through the eyes of eternity, you lived a pretty pointless life.
Yes, sir.
As enjoyable as it would probably be, it would be pointless. 1 Samuel chapter 18, this passage helped me. Verse number 5, the Bible says, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him. He was obedient and behaved himself wisely. Behaved himself wisely. What are you talking about tonight, Brother Chad? I'm talking about behaving ourselves wisely. Because look what it did for David. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Look down at verse number 12. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him and made him his captain over 1,000. Look at this phrase here. And he went out and came in before the people. And I got scratching my head about that and I thought, what does it mean he went out and came in before the people? What does it mean? And I think Lord kind of, I think this is what it means. I don't know 100%, but I believe that there was a way that you could get into the castle, okay, or into the hold or whatever, that if you wanted to, you could bypass all the people on the side of the street. And you could go about your mission. I'm a messenger of the king. Well, good. I'm glad. You're a messenger of the king. You're living above the common person. And you could go about your business and you could go straight to the king and you could just see the king and then you could come right back out and go to your soldiers and you could go about your business killing Philistines. You could do that. But this statement here that says, and he went out and came in before the people. And I think what it means is, you know what? Yeah, he had a job over here, but he went to this and said, hey, how are you doing today? Did you have a good day? Hey, did you have a good Christmas? Good. God bless you. Hey, brother, nice haircut. God bless you, brother. Looks like a man. All right. How are you? Did you have a good Christmas? Kill any squirrels this week? Great. Hey, brother. Good to see you from college. Hey, how are you? Did you have a good week? Good to have your brother home. All right. Hey, brother. Did your truck break down this week? All right. Hey, brother. How are you? You know what? You know what I think it meant to go in and out before the people? It was somebody that in every essence had the right to bypass all of these people. But he took just a moment to say, hey, you doing okay? Why in the world would one man, when he fled the face of Saul, why would hundreds of men, where did those hundreds of men come from that had debts and were outlaws? Look, I mean, we got outlaws right here. Because a man that could have walked past all of those people said, hey, how's your mom today? And because of that, when he was on the run and he needed help, you know who came to help him? The people he went in and out before. I believe that's where those people came from. I believe that because he took time and he would talk to the young people. He would talk to the old folks. He would talk to them. He would find out how their week had been. Okay? Listen, if we get so high and mighty that we're on a mission and we can't stop and help somebody that's broke down on the side of the road, we've gotten a little too high and mighty. Right. You know, there's nothing wrong with, I'm not saying you go out and go have a couple buds with them. I didn't say that at all. Right. But you can help them fix their car. Right. That makes sense?
Yep.
Okay. I read verse number 13. Look at verse 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. That's what I believe it means. And you know what? I think as a king, as you know, he wasn't royal blood. In fact, there really wasn't any royal blood at this point. I mean, King Saul and his sons, I guess, would have been considered royal, but David wasn't royal blood. But he conducted himself wisely. Go to verse number 30, same chapter, 18, verse 30. Actually, look at verse 27. 26. I kind of just like this story. And when his servants told David these words, it pleased David well to be this king's son-in-law, and the days were not expired. Wherefore, David arose and went, he and his men, and slew of the Philistines 200 men. And David brought their foreskins, and they gave them in full tally to the king, that he might be the king's son-in-law. And David gave him Michal, his daughter, to wife. So remember the story, David wanted to marry Michal, and King Saul said, well, here's a good way I get rid of David. You go kill 200 Philistines. And David said, I still got time today. Come on, boys, let's go. And they went out and killed 200 of them. They brought him back to, and so he got the king's daughter. Look at verse 30. Then the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass after they went forth that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. You know what? Even his enemies knew who David was.
Right.
Even his enemies. They came to fear David. All right? But you know what? It still came back to he behaved himself wisely. Let me ask you this, young people, is your name much set by? How do you get your name to be? What does it mean to have your name much set by? I think it means exactly what we talked about this evening. If I brought your name up to anybody in this church, young people, what would they say? What would they say? Have you behaved yourself wisely? Have you conducted yourself like a child of the king? Or have you acted like a peasant? Now remember what I said. You always got to be willing. If you're not willing to reach down and help somebody, because remember, if you don't remember where you came from, because you, we were all, I was that way. I was just a, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And but for the grace of God, I wouldn't be sitting here today. I wouldn't be. I could almost tell you where I would be today. Pretty close. And it wouldn't be sitting in church tonight. Okay? Acting like royalty. What's your name? How is your name set by? Much set by? What do people think of you? You don't know what God has down the road for you. Live like royalty. Live like royalty. It's not for kings, O Lemuel. Young people, it's not for you to drink. It's not for you. I don't care how bad it is, it's not for you to drink. Because why? You're a child of the King. It's not for you to go dabble in the junk of the world. Why? Because you're a child of the King. If there's no other reason, because you're a child of the King. Brother Chad, can you give me a Bible verse about that? No, but you're a child of the King. And we don't do that. We don't do that. All right? What's your name much set by? Are you behaving yourself wisely? But also, are you reaching down and helping those that need some help? All right? Young ladies, the teen girls in your teen class, do they feel welcome or do they feel shunned? Young men, the young men in your teen class, do they feel welcome or do they feel shunned? I'm not saying you go out and you party with them on the weekends, but you can reach down to them on Sunday mornings. You can sit with them when they're sitting back here by themselves, or have them, I wouldn't say go back and sit with them, but you can have them come sit with you. Adults, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. What's good for the gander is good for the goose. Vice versa. What about the people that come in and sit by themselves? I'm not saying go out and live their life, because we are a child of the King. But you can reach down and help them to become a child of the King. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, it's just a thought. It's just a meditation maybe that people can take with them today and or tonight. Lord, help us to always think about what is our name set by? What do people think when they say our name? Do we go in and out before the people and have a relationship, or do we just go about our business and think that we're better than everyone? God, there's several truths here, and Lord, I pray that you would just speak to each heart. And Holy Spirit, that's your job, it's not mine. And Lord, I pray that you just help us tonight, help us the rest of this week, help us to reach out to people, help us to practice the royal law, loving others as we love ourselves. Thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name.